This week's episode of the PFW Chicago Football Podcast brought to you by Loot Crate. Head to lootcrate.com/Shaw and use our promo code Shaw, S-H-A-W. Get $3 off your first crate when you subscribe. What a way to start 2017. Then gain a subscription to Loot Crate. The theme for this month is Origins. So we got some really fun old school favorites from Loot Crate featuring items featuring Superman, Captain America, Mario, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Always, you'll get a monthly t-shirt and pin in your crate. Saw a lot of people posting pictures from Christmas weekend, getting some Christmas gifts from Loot Crate. So it's an awesome gift idea, and as I said, a great way to start 2017. So lootcrate.com/Shaw. Use that promo code S-H-A-W. $3 off your first crate. There is one Bears game left. Let's preview it right here on the podcast. And hello and happy new year and Merry Christmas and happy Hanukkah. Welcome to this week's episode of PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Fishbane. You can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. You can follow all of our Bears stuff at Bears_insider. And of course, online at profootballweekly.com/Bears. Got my producer, Dan Mott, joining me today. You can follow him on Twitter at Mott's Thoughts. We'll briefly recap the Bears' final home game of 2016 and then get ready for the season finale in Minnesota. Great guest coming for you today. It's Matt Bowen, former NFL safety. You probably hear him on 670 Score or read his work on ESPN. He will talk with us about the state of the Bears and what to look forward to in the final game, if there is anything to look forward to. So there the Bears are. It's Christmas Eve, Saturday afternoon, in front of what looked like a half-empty Soldier Field. And I use half-empty, not half-full, because that's the way the 3-12 season's gone. And things just really obviously unraveled for the Bears and Matt Barkley. He threw 5 interceptions. The defense fell apart, gave up some big plays. Tracy Porter admittedly had his worst game of the season. DeSean Jackson running free in the secondary. The run defense wasn't very good. Gave up the big 60-plus yard touchdown to someone that people probably hadn't even heard of, Mack Brown, not the coach of Texas Longhorns, in the second half. And, you know, it's weird because this game has kind of become sort of an ultimatum, if you will, on Matt Barkley and who he is and who he might be. And you see different things. There's still a lot of people out there, a lot of Bears fans, who are holding on to the good plays they've seen from him, the great comebacks, almost beating the Packers and Titans, and a guy that made a beautiful touchdown throw to Cam Meredith in that last loss to Washington. But guys, this is somebody who's completing less than 60% of his passes. He's got a bad passer rating, 5 interceptions against Washington. You just can't do that if you want to be an NFL starting quarterback. And look, Matt Barkley has exceeded expectations for a guy who is really the Bears' fourth option at the position, if you consider Jay Cutler, Brian Hoyer, and Connor Shaw. He was on the practice squad for a reason before he became the backup because of Cutler's injury and then became the starter when Cutler and Hoyer got hurt. So we've talked about this on this podcast before, but you can take the good and take the bad. Yes, he's done some nice things, but this guy is not the future for you at the position. I think he'd be a great option if you're looking to be a number two or number three quarterback heading into next year. But, you know, I don't even think that he should be the bridge quarterback at this point. I think there will be some better options out there for the Bears. And, you know, look, maybe they will like Barkley. And, again, there's some things that they have to work with on him. But, you know, I think Saturday was a reminder for those that were still kind of holding out hope that he would be the answer at the position. I kid you not, Dan Mott, I actually saw someone tweet at Hub comparing Matt Barkley to Peyton Manning.
And
he showed that Peyton Manning had bad numbers his rookie season. Said, you know, give him some time. And look, most rookie quarterbacks have pretty weak numbers their rookie season. Let's not compare Matt Barkley to the greatest to ever play the game. And let's all remember Matt Barkley's been in the NFL. So this is his fourth season in the NFL. Two different teams have gotten pretty good looks at Matt Barkley before the Chicago Bears.
Guys, Matt Barkley is strictly a good backup. He's a career backup. That's all there is to it. And I don't think you can read any more into that. This team needs a quarterback, and it's not Matt Barkley.
And that we'll be talking a lot about that over the next few months as we get going and figure out who that next quarterback is going to be. And we will hear from Ryan Pace and John Fox next Wednesday. Maybe Ryan Pace will give us a little look into the type of quarterback that he wants for this roster moving forward. The good thing about the game was, again, Jordan Howard. I mean, this guy continues to be the ultimate positive, the silver lining, whatever you want to call it for this team. Just an outstanding rookie year. Continues to rush for more than 5 yards a carry, actually averaging 6 yards per carry over the last three games. And you just wonder, in certain situations like second and third and goal from the 4 yard line, if those were opportunities where he should have had the ball in his hands. Instead, the Bears passed it in the first quarter, two incomplete passes, then a blocked field goal, and that kind of encapsulated this 2016 Bears season. But kind of to help recap what we've seen from this Bears season and to look ahead to this final game on New Year's Day, I want to welcome in a great guest, and that is Matt Bowen. You can follow him on Twitter at MattBowen41. He's an NFL writer at ESPN, 7-year NFL vet. You can also hear him here in Chicago on 670. Great stuff from Matt Bowen. And Matt, because your position in the NFL was safety, and that's the position that has evaded the Bears over the years, I want to start with your take on that position. From the Bears games you've seen this season, is there anything that you've liked from a Deion Bush or Adrian Amos or Harold Jones-Korte that tells you one of those three guys has something to kind of develop into a long-term starter at the position?
Well, I think with Amos, the first thing that jumps out to you is his ability to stop the run. He's a downhill player, physical player. He has size. He's got straight line speed. He has, the things you look for from a scouting perspective when you're trying to evaluate that position with a young player. He's got the traits you want at the position. But the thing you're not seeing, whether it's Amos, whether it's Bush, I know Bush is a rookie, and sometimes we're too hard on rookies. We expect too many immediate results. You're not seeing the plays being made. I'm talking about impact plays. Plays that change field position, plays that create scoring opportunities, and plays that ultimately win football games. You look at the top defenses in the NFL, especially in the secondary. You look back at what Seattle has, and they have a healthy secondary with Cam Chancellor, with Earl Thomas. You look at Denver with T.J. Ward and Stewart. These are safeties that, one, intimidate because they're physical. Two, they make plays in the football. And three, I think they start to dictate the flow of the game from a secondary perspective. And I've always felt that starts at the safety position. Yes, you need corners. There's no doubt about that. And that's something that the Bears are going to have to upgrade as well. But you need those two guys in the middle of the field that can play both free and strong. They can rotate, they can roll, however you want to say it. But ultimately, they make those game-changing plays. And that's what you're not seeing this year from the Bears safeties. And I know they're young. And fans have to understand that when you're dealing with young players, it takes time for them to develop. But you still want to see them take steps in that development, right? So where are the steps? Where are those plays that they're not making? Why aren't they making them? That's been a major problem for the Bears this season.
Yeah, that group of safeties I just mentioned, they've combined for only 9 passes broken up and 1 interception this season. And Matt, you've know how this franchise has been with the position over the years. It's like you start the offseason every year talking about the need. This is a team that hasn't invested a high pick in the position. They haven't really invested a ton of money in it. Obviously, the Antoine Roll experiment didn't work last year. And I don't know if that's a Vic Fangio philosophy that he doesn't necessarily feel the need to have put a lot into the safeties. Obviously, they put a lot in the outside linebackers. But from what you're saying, I imagine that, you know, would this be a time to take a stab with a second or third round pick, or even throw a ton of money at an Eric Berry or someone in free agency to put a lot of investment into that position?
Well, I'll tell you what, if they had an opportunity to get Eric Berry, I'd do anything possible. If you watch Eric Berry on film, he's got the skill set of a cornerback with the physicality of the safety position. That's what you want. I mean, that's what Earl Thomas has. Guy who has range, guy who can cover tight end, cover slot, make plays in the run game. And also make plays in the football and turn into an offensive player once they make plays on the football. What I think, and this is just my opinion, looking at how Ryan Pace has tried to construct this team in this brief time here, is starting up front. I completely understand that. You look at what the Dallas Cowboys have done, the Oakland Raiders have done on the offensive side of the ball, how they built their offensive line. You've seen a little of that from Pace here. But especially talking about defense, what they've done to improve the front seven. Through the draft, through free agency, they've added a lot of nice pieces there. I think they're much faster, much more physical front seven But now you got to go to that secondary. I think that's the next step, is whether it's through the draft or whether it's through free agency, finding competition back there, first of all, so that when guys come to camp in August, they know their jobs are on the line. They have to compete every day to keep that job, but also to upgrade there and to find those impact guys. And also that gives you a lot of flexibility, too, from a game plan perspective. You have an Eric Berry, you can have your free safety roll down and play over the slot. You can keep your base personnel out there versus three wide receiver personnel, because now you got that safety you can cover the slot. But those guys are hard to find.
They are. And you know, something I know I've asked John Fox before, and you probably see this, is the safety position instincts is so important. And that's not an easy thing to scout, is it, Matt?
No, it's not. And especially, you know, this is something I really want to study in the offseason, because I don't think, and this year might be a little different. There's a couple of young safeties coming out that I think can be top 10 players, but trying to evaluate the college game where you're seeing different defenses in terms of coverages that you see at the pro level, because you're seeing more spread offenses, you're seeing more run pass options, more zone read, more wide open offenses, so to say, and how that translates to the pro game. But you're talking about awareness. Another term I use is football IQ. Okay, football IQ, what I mean by that, if you watch Earl Thomas, he's breaking before the ball is thrown. That's why he's there. Yeah, he runs a 4.4. That's great. But you can take a guy at 4.5, even the low 4.6, 40 time, that has great awareness, great football IQ, and they're still going to break in the ball and make plays. And that is hard to evaluate when we go back to that college tape, because I think it is a little bit of a different game. It's a different game. It's not as fast. You're playing more. You're playing different coverages than you see on Sunday. And how do you project that talent? I mean, that's one of the greatest mysteries of the draft, right? How do you project that talent to Sundays? But the Bears have to really focus on that this offseason if they are going to target a safety in the draft, is trying to project that talent, how it'll fit, we assume, in Vic Fangio's scheme if the coaching staff is back, and how they can translate that to production on Sundays.
Sticking with the draft and flipping to the other side of the ball, you know, one thing we're talking about a lot on this podcast is the quarterback position, and we all expect the Bears to draft a quarterback, even if they make some other free agent or trade moves, that we expect them to draft somebody. Well, based on your time in the league and your time covering the league now, what's your philosophy and kind of the best way to do that with a quarterback in terms of when to draft a quarterback and what to have around him to make it work?
Well, I think you look at what Dallas has done this year, okay, and how they have facilitated production and also developed production with Dak Prescott. Obviously, they had the offensive line that drafted a top five running back. Anyone who's watched the game of Ezekiel Elliott this year can see that he is a top five talent. But also how they've shaped that system around him. It's a combination of pro style and spread style offenses mixed together. That caters to Dak Prescott, his unique athleticism at the position, his unique size at the position, but also facilitating production off of play action, off of high percentage throws. I think right now Dak has 23 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. That's a remarkable number for a rookie. It really is. I think it's one of the best stories of this season, is how much, how comfortable he looks in the field and how much a fit he is for that offense. And that's one thing, this league is all about opportunity. You look out in L.A. right now with Jared Goff and what he has around him, Kevin. He doesn't have weapons at the wide receiver position that, as opposing defense coordinator, you're going to say, that guy scares me, right? I got to stop that guy. I got to take him away. He doesn't have a great offensive line. We've seen that in Todd Gurley's numbers this year, how down they have been because they just cannot create running lanes, and how that's going to impact his development compared to Dak. So opportunity plays a huge role in that. I think when the Bears are healthy and they have all the pieces on that offensive line, that's an offensive line that can protect the quarterback if they're healthy. I do think they need to look at creating competition at both tackle positions. There's no question about that. They have a running back in Jordan Howard, who I think is a perfect fit for this offense in terms of zone schemes and downhill runs. You'd like to have Kevin White in the field, right, Kevin?
Right, yeah.
You'd like to have that. You'd like to know what you have there, too, because the problem with Kevin White is the Bears haven't been able to properly evaluate him. He played 3 football games in 2 seasons. You know what you have off the college tape. You know what you have from the testing numbers in Indianapolis at the combine, but you haven't seen enough of it on the field. Do they bring Alshon Jeffrey back? Do they get a tight end that's reliable, accountable, can stay on the field and produce a middle of the field throws? You need all those things to build around a young quarterback. I'm never going to say you want to make it easy, because nothing in pro football is easy, you want to make his comfort level higher, where he's not playing in third and 10 plus all the time, when he can lean on the running game, where he can use the running game to facilitate production off of play action and deep shots down the field. When you have healthy wide receivers with big frames like a Jeffrey, like a Kevin White, when you find an option in the slot that can create matchups, all those things come into play. And ultimately, it's going to be your decision. I do think the Bears should draft the quarterback. It's when do you play him? And that's the other part of this equation. I was always a guy that said, well, you know, game reps are the best. And I believe that. You don't get better playing against the scout team in practice. You don't get better running the scout team in practice. You don't get better in the limited time these guys are on the field now in the new CBA for training camp. For them to get better, Kevin, they have to play.
Right.
And that means when they play, they're going to make mistakes, right?
Yeah.
And you look at Jared Goff, the mistakes he made. You look at Carson Wentz, how high he was early in the season to where he's leveled off or plateaued off now. He's made a lot of mistakes. It's part of playing a rookie. So fans have to understand that. Management has to understand. The coaching staff has to understand that. Are we going to take a rookie in the draft and are we going to put him on the field immediately and have him learn from his mistakes? Well, while you're learning from those mistakes, a lot of times you're losing football games because of those mistakes. It's just how this fine line you walk of when they're ready, when they're not, when's the proper procedure to put them on the field, and more importantly, what do you have around him that can help develop his growth on the field?
Right, right. Absolutely. That's something, you know, Bears fans, it's going to be tough for them to be patient after 6 years without a playoff team. I think that they also, Bears fans also all want that quarterback. And before we even get to the draft, believe it or not, the Bears still have to play another game on Sunday in Minnesota to wrap up the season. And take you back to your playing days, you know, looking back, looks like your 03 season in Washington certainly wasn't your best in terms of being on a great team. And I'm, because I want to go kind of inside the minds of some of these players in the locker room. What's it like when you know you're going to the last game of the season and there isn't anything to play for, but you also know the GM, the coaches, the scouts, everyone's watching your every move for your evaluation for the next season?
Well, I think the professional approach is to say this is part of my job. It's another interview. It's another opportunity for me to autograph my performance as a player and to build my resume as a player. Now, that 03 season in Washington was a little unique because we had a pretty strong idea that Coach Spurrier was not going to be back.
Right.
Okay, so there was a lot of uncertainty, really, that final month of the season, if our coordinators are going to be back, if our position coaches were going to be back, who would they look to hire? That season fell apart pretty quickly. On that last game, we played a very good Philadelphia team that went to the NFC Championship with Andy Reid as the head coach, McNabb, Brian Westbrook. You know, Brian Dawkins on defense, they were a very talented team. And I think they could have beat us by 50 if they wanted to. Okay, I really do. I think Andy Reid took it a little easy on us. And you see that a lot around the league. You saw last week with the New York Jets. I don't think they played very inspired football against the New England Patriots. I think if Brady played the whole game, they could have scored 50 points if they stuck to their game plan. You see some teams, I don't want to say they lay down. No one lays down. I mean, that's a term we use in the media a lot, because you still have to play fast, okay? You still have to be physical. You still have to be fast with football and be an aggressive football player on the field, because if you don't, you're not going to survive a Sunday in the NFL. You're going to get, you know, there's a chance you're going to have a serious injury. What happens, Kevin, is that people lose focus throughout the week. And I'm talking about the game prep. It's much different preparing for week 17 in the NFL when you're the Green Bay Packers, you have to go out and win an NFC North title. Mm-hmm. Compared to a team like the Bears or the Vikings who are playing just to play out the remainder last game in the schedule. There's a much different mindset, and that's going to impact your game prep a little bit. How much film you study, how many tendencies you study, what are you doing extra? Are you still doing the extra things? Are you still getting an extra lift in during the week? Are you still getting more treatment? Or are you just trying to get through the week and survive 3 hours on Sunday and go home for the offseason? Because you have to remember, at the end of the day, these players are not robots, they're human. Emotions play a big role in it. And when you're having a season like the Bears, and even the Minnesota Vikings, remember, they were 5-0 at one point. And when they were 5-0, I wrote this too, at that mark of the season, they had the best defense in the NFL. They really did. But their season took a turn, you know, down a path they didn't expect. And now look where they're at now, playing out the schedule like the Bears are. So those games, I'm not saying they're hard to get up for, because you're excited when you get on the field. It's just that week of practice, the tempo slows down a little bit. And like I said, the game prep lacks a little bit, and that's going to impact the quality of play on the field.
Mm-hmm. What do some of these players, you know, the guys, you know, the Bears do have, most of their guys are actually under contract for next year as of this point. What goes into January and February, you know, especially when you're not in the playoffs? What's kind of the immediate aftermath that these guys are going to face next week?
Well, the first thing is just to get away from football for a while. You need a break. You do. After 16 games and the preseason slate, training camp, OTAs, mini camp. You need a break. You just need to get away from football for a while. Go on vacation. Go see your family back home. Do whatever you have to do. Get away from football. What I used to do is take probably 3 weeks and completely off, because you also need that time for your body to recover from all the physical beating it takes throughout the season. And after that, you go into your off-season structure in terms of your personal workout, what you do as a player to get ready for next season. That includes your lifting, your conditioning, your diet. You get back into that routine of, this is my off-season schedule. I'm not talking about the team off-season schedule. I'm talking, you know, individual as a player before you even come back to the facility in the spring. What do you do throughout the winter? And when you're playing on a team like the Bears are right now, or like the Jets, there's also a lot of uncertainty in your mind. Just thinking, am I going to be back? Because anytime you have a losing season, and really just in the NFL, losing season is not making the playoffs. There's going to be changes. Whether it's changes in management, the coaching positions, or in the locker room, there's going to be changes. So there's also that uncertainty in your mind of, there's a possibility I can get a phone call in February or March from the head coach saying, you know what, we're not going to have you back next season. And now you're in a different mode where you're talking to your agent, where you're waiting for the next opportunity. But, you know, it's kind of a long-winded answer, but to go back to the beginning, the first part, just get away. Get away from the game. Get away from the game. And it's hard. The hardest part, Jeff, is when you're done and then wild card weekend hits and you turn on TV and you're not playing. That's a tough feeling. That's a tough feeling when you're watching Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger or what I think could be Aaron Rodgers once again in the playoffs and you're sitting at home watching. That's a tough feeling.
Yeah. Now, from my perspective, I know there are some writers who are kind of happy to not have to go travel and cover a playoff game. From our perspective, I kind of have the same thing. I'm kind of going to be envious of those Patriots writers who get to cover a meaningful game. Just two more quick ones here with Matt Bowen. Again, follow him on Twitter at MattBowen41. When you, you know, Ryan Pace and the McCaskey family, everyone's going to be evaluating this Bears team and evaluating the coaching staff and the players and whatnot. The 19 guys in injured reserve, it's going to obviously come up. I think it's one of the reasons a lot of people expect John Fox to be back this year. How hard is it, that fine line, when you're making that evaluation of a team, balancing the injuries versus the win-loss record?
Well, I think it comes down to, does the head coach have control of the building? Okay, because I think the head coach is the most important man in the building. More important than the owner, more important than the general manager. Okay, he controls everything. He sets the identity of the football team. He builds the culture of the football team. What you have to do, if you're the McCaskies, is saying, is John Fox building the type of program we want? Okay, because I do agree you have to bring in to account the injuries. But whenever you have injuries, that also tests your depth. It also reveals issues you have lying underneath that top line of the depth chart, too. And that's going to tell you where you need to get better. Okay, and the Bears can get better in a lot of areas. We've talked about a couple of them already. Obviously, the quarterback position is going to be the big discussion of this offseason. But when you're evaluating a football team, it's got to start at the top. It has to start at the top. And there's a lot of things you could look at. It could be, you know, in terms of the effort of the football team, in terms of, from an outside perspective, how they prepare for the week. And there'll be a lot of things that Coach Fox will look at from a self-scouting perspective, whether it's the structure of schedule, whether it's the off-season and conditioning program, whether they can change some things there to have better injury prevention. Okay, now a guy blows out a knee, Kevin, that happens. It's football. You can't prevent that in the weight room or in your conditioning on the field. But are there things you can do to make guys stronger, whether it's more core work, whether it's more Olympic lifting? I don't know what it is. I'm not up there in their lifting sessions, but they're will probably be some changes this offseason in that regard. So anytime you have a season like this, you have to break it down from the beginning and say, where do we go wrong and how do we get better? How do we adapt? Maybe it's having meetings earlier in the morning or later in the day. There's a lot of things you could look at from a self-scouting perspective from the entire football team that starts with John Fox. how they make this team better. Obviously, it's easy to say, go draft a quarterback who becomes the next Dak Prescott. I mean, that's great, okay? But this isn't, you're not playing Madden on Xbox, right? You can't do that stuff overnight. You have to look at the entire program top to bottom and say, where do we need to get better? How can we upgrade our staff? How can we upgrade our roster? And what do we do to better prepare these players to go out and beat Green Bay, Detroit, and Minnesota?
Yeah, Bears might need every second of that offseason to figure out everything that's gone wrong the past 2 years. Matt, we'll wrap up with this. Florida, Iowa, Outback Bowl again. What's your prediction?
That's going to be low scoring. I'll tell you that right now. Usually,
that's
it.
For sure.
That's going to be low scoring. But I'll tell you what. The way Iowa finished the season, I thought was so impressive. That's one of the things about Coach Ferentz and his football teams. If you look at their developmental path over the course of the season, and this isn't every year because that's impossible in football, but they always get better as the season progresses usually. Okay, and you saw that over the last month of the season. When they beat Michigan at home, they beat Lovie Smith in Illinois, and then they beat Nebraska at home. That's two really quality wins in the last month of the season. Michigan at the point they beat them was a top five team. Nebraska was a top 15 team. And I think that's the football team everyone expected. Okay, start of the season from Iowa. Now, they had some ups and downs just like a lot of football teams do, but I love how they finished the football season. I think they'll be more than prepared to go out and play Florida. And I'll tell you what about Florida. Excellent defense, a lot of team speed. I think they do have some limitations at the quarterback position. For Iowa to win, they have to win special teams and create some turnovers on defense. And then lean on the run game. You know, if you look at Iowa football, what they've done, this goes back to 1979 when Hayden Fry took over. It's run the ball, win up front. If they can control the line of scrimmage, then this can be one of those old school football games that comes down to a special teams play in the second half and field position in the second half. But, of course, I'm going to pick my Hawkeyes. So I'm going to take Iowa 17-14.
All right, and if my Northwestern Wildcats had a say in getting Iowa back on track on behalf of the Northwestern family, you're welcome for, you know, setting things right for that win in Iowa City in early October.
I'll tell you what, I had so much when I was in college and played at Iowa, the games against Northwestern, and they still bother me. Okay, they still bother me. Okay, because I can remember playing up in Northwestern and they're beating them. They beat us on a 4th-and-1 at the goal line on a quarterback keeper, and just weird plays happened in that series. It's a great series. It was a great series when I got there, and when they went to the Rose Bowl in '95, how they beat us at Evanston. So it's always been a great series. I love Pat Fitzgerald. I think he's an excellent head coach. I think he's always got the program in the right direction. They're physical. They're tough. They're creative on offense. Pat Fitzgerald does a lot of great things there.
He certainly does. Certainly does. All right, Matt Bowen, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and Happy New Year to you and the family.
Thank you very much.
All right, that was Matt Bowen again. You can follow him on Twitter at MattBowen41. Great stuff. You can find out his stuff also on ESPN NFL Insider. All right, time to talk about another sponsor of ours, that is FanEssentials.net. How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out FanEssentials.net. All you do is pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. Maybe you don't want all the Bears gear right now because of the way they're playing. Maybe you can jump on the Blackhawks bandwagon, get some Blackhawks gear. Whatever you want, go to FanEssentials.net. Use our promo code Chicago at checkout. You're going to get 30% off your first month. That is Chicago at checkout of FanEssentials.net. They get all the fan essentials that you need. All right, Dan Mott, that was quite the great NFL education we just got from Matt Bowen. He's one of my favorite people in the business and just finds a way to break it down. And we see former players on TV and on the radio a lot. And I don't know if anybody does it in a way he does it. It's so easy for people to understand. And he brings in his own experience without necessarily, you know, putting everything on what he experienced too. He understands the game's changed over the years, so I always think he's got great insight.
Yeah, absolutely. His stuff is just is fantastic. I love hearing him on The Score, and so happy that he can be a part of our podcast as well.
Yeah, now he's a friend of the program.
We have to
get him a shirt. But and actually, by the way, I was at that Northwestern Iowa game he referenced, which was about 18 years ago. Zach Kustak took it in on 4th-and-goal That was pretty fun. All right, that's enough of my my Wildcats. We're recording this on Tuesday afternoon before their bowl game. All right, Dan, let's kind of start to close up shop. So let's set the scene for everyone. Bears-Vikings, last game of the season, Sunday, New Year's Day, noon on Fox. Here's what's at stake. The Bears have never been 3-13 ever. Their fewest losses in a season, in a 16-game season, is 4. Now, they went 1-13 once. That was 1969, but obviously that was a 14-game season. So that's the last time they lost 13 games. They have never gone 0-8 on the road. They've gone winless on the road about the thing was in the early 70s. They've gone winless on the road, but never 0-8 on the road. That is at stake Sunday in Minnesota. If they lose, they'll have the number 3 pick in the draft, which is their highest pick they have had since 1972. So, no, the Bears aren't playing for playoff spots. We already know all their opponents for next season. All that is set. These guys are trying to, as Matt explained, you know, another notch on the resume if they can play well. But also, there is some historic franchise records that they do not want to set that are going to be available for the Bears if they lose to the Vikings on Sunday, which, you know, look, the way Matt described the focus on a head coach, you know, I think that's another reminder why John Fox will stay. But you can't ignore the fact that he is 9-22 in his 2 years here. And just for some context, Rex Ryan was fired today, the day that we're recording this, and he won 15 games as head coach of the Bills in less than 2 seasons. Adam Gase, 10 wins in his first year in Miami. And that's not necessarily a roster that is that much worse, of course, or better, I should say, than the Chicago Bears. So an interesting situation here for the McCaskey family and Ryan Pace on what is next. But we'll get more into that next week. Our schedule might be altered next week. I want to be able to sit in and listen to Ryan Pace and John Fox before we have a podcast. So stay tuned for later next week as we kind of wrap up the season, to recap what we heard from Ryan Pace, and get set for what's to come for this Bears team in January. All right, Dan Mott, our last picks of the season. Probably a good thing we didn't necessarily keep track of these. I know that my picks straight up have been very good. Against the spread, not so much. So Bears at Vikings. The Vikings currently a 5.5-point favorite. Dan Mott, who you got?
I'm going Vikings 28, Bears 21, and Bears fans will get the number 3 pick because I don't think San Francisco is going to beat the Seahawks.
All right, Dan, I also am picking a Vikings victory. I do have the Bears backdoor cover. I've been picking them to cover all year. Whenever I pick them to cover, they don't. When I don't pick them to cover, they do. I'll pick them to cover this one. Real low scoring. I think it's an ugly game. The Vikings, a lot of issues with that defense, as Matt was talking about. I got Vikings 16, Bears 13, which would mean, Dan, that you and I would have combined for the same amount of road NFL victories this season as the Chicago Bears, which would be 0. So some thank yous to hand out and plugs, of course. Big thank you to Matt Bowen for coming on the program. Follow him on Twitter at MattBowen41. And thank you, of course, to my producer, Dan Mott, for producing this awesome podcast for you. And thank you to our sponsors, Loot Crate and Fan Essentials. Check out Thursday, your Chicago Sun-Times, Daily Herald, Northwest Herald for our Pro Football Weekly insert. We have our end-of-season PFW awards there as well. You can see those on ProFootballWeekly.com. Go to ProFootballWeekly.com/Bears for all your Bears content. Follow everything on Bears_Insider. And go ahead and add Bears_Insider on your Snapchat. We'll have one more game Snapchat that'll be from the new U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota. Really excited to see it on New Year's Day, and I will bring the sights and sounds from the final game of the season to you from Minnesota. And then Saturday morning, 10:30, WCIU, set your DVRs or watch live for Chicago football. Now, for everyone at Shaw Media and Pro Football Weekly, I am Kevin Fishbane, wishing you all a happy new year. Thanks for listening. More Bears talk coming at you in 2017.